It takes an army of people, of volunteers, to pull off a week like this in church. You do it every year. The front of your bulletin tells you well over 100 different children came this week and participated in VBS. We had 96, I believe, the biggest night that we had. And over 90 volunteers is what it takes to pull off this. So thank you. We need to be praying about what God's doing, because those seeds were planted and now he's shining on them. And so we want to keep watering and doing anything we can. I have to brag on a couple people real quick. Kristen Tucker has done so much in helping us with VBS. And when we've been in transition between youth ministers, Kristen has come and really helped out from that, from the very first moment all the way through to the very, very end. And then the other thing is I have to brag on my cohort, Mr. Zach Foote, because he has come June 1st, and ideally we would have phased him in and let him really acclimate, you know, to the water temperature, but he went straight in the deep end and has, honestly, I had to get on to him for this because he's outworking me, and I'm telling him we're not going to have that, but he keeps doing it. So, but honestly, church, you need to be really proud of this soldier right here, and so we have a gift for him. This was the day he jumped up here and led the VBS meeting day one and took the reins and went with it. And so in the picture is his two lovely children on stage watching their dad on day one. So that's a gift that comes from the heart of this church. Zach, we appreciate you. All right. To infinity and beyond. This morning we're going to kind of run through what the kids have been working on this week and what seeds were planted. Really four major ideas with them about, of course, we played off the movie Toy Story and had some fun with that. But the major concept of we're headed to another world and heaven is our home. And so turn in your Bibles, church, to John 15, verse 12 and verse 13, actually. John 15, 13. Because the first point was, you've got a friend in me. It is a precious thing to have a very true friend, isn't it? If you have a friend that is faithful to you and you know has your back and has your best interests at heart. And you know, John 15, 12 and verse 13, Jesus said, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. And Jesus makes this statement in verse 15, no longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what a master is doing, but I have called you friends. And so just talking about friendship in general, I know a lot of you have seen a video that kind of recirculates each year this time, and I'm glad it does. It was a part of, we did a series, an Overcomer series, and we highlighted a few of our members that have overcome different challenges in life. And Kristen Tucker is one of those regarding postpartum depression, and a great video was done regarding her journey and how God helped her through that. And a part of her story was that she had a friend who did not condemn her but cared about her. That's a precious thing, isn't it? If you have a friend that you know is there for you, and in your darkest hour when maybe you're not at your best and haven't been at your best, but your friend will sit with you and not condemn you, but they'll care for you. That's a big deal. And the fact is, we have no greater friend. We have no friend like this, like we do in Jesus Christ. When you're really struggling, part of what's hard when we're struggling as individuals is no one really understands. Even if you have someone who's gone through the same thing, they may understand a lot, but still no one understands you. No one like Jesus Christ. Amen. And when we pray to Him, that's a friend that is always with us. He'll always stand with us. He's always faithful to us. He doesn't give up on us. We can always come back to our friend Jesus. And so I just remind you, church, you have a friend that maybe you don't think about because we can't see him and we can't, have a conversation like we do each other. But there is nothing so precious as having a friend in Jesus. You know, the second thing we worked on this week, reach for the sky. And there's a scripture in 1 Timothy 2:8. And it said, this is Paul writing to Timothy. He says, I desire that in every place the men should pray, lifting holy hands without anger or quarreling. And, you know, there's a context of this verse about men leading and praying with, and don't live a sinful life Saturday and then come in and lead the church family Sunday, but be holy every day. But it's also, you know, in ancient times, we read in Scripture different occasions where God's people would, they might lift their hands in prayer, lift their hands in worship. And in doing so, it's a physical expression of God, I reach to you, I give to you. And so in talking about that this week, reach for the sky, the idea was to reach to God in prayer. And the fact is, prayer is the answer to all of our problems. Amen. If you have anything on, you know, sometimes we sit in this auditorium, let's say during communion, for example. And during communion, you may be like me, where my mind is on the cross, and then my mind wanders to something else, and I have to bring it back. It's on the cross, it wanders to something else. And the something else, oftentimes, is worries. And I would bet every one of us sit here today with something in our mind, if we would let our mind go to it, something that we worry about in our life right now. And I remind you that prayer is the answer to all of those. There's no problem prayer is not the answer to. And I'm not saying that all you do is pray. I'm saying the first thing you do is pray, and the last thing you do is pray, and the best thing you do is pray. I share with you a little bit about how it works for me. Oftentimes I pray and my prayers are very short and brief, and they're because I need God's help in different situations. So they're not necessarily long prayers, not on my knee prayers, but just kind of continual, God help me with this. Then sometimes I have something big, and I'll ask some people to pray about that. Once in a while, rare times, I will call on some prayer warriors, and I will ask Mom and Dad to pray. I will ask Jack Covenus to pray. I will ask Jody Richardson to pray. Steve Hess, I'll ask Janet to pray. Some people that I know are prayer warriors, and when I ask them, I know I'm asking the right people, because their response is significant. They know exactly what, they don't know what the situation is, but they know what prayer is about, and they know it's important. I did that this not too long ago. Had another kind of about where life gets real, real serious. And it's a reminder, and part of my prayer to God in times like that, when you're desperate and you're on your knees, or emotionally you're on your knees, and you tell God how much you need Him, but it reminds me, and I have to remind myself, I tell God, like I'm telling Him something, but I tell God, God, I know here I need you like that all the time. I just don't act like it, and I don't feel like it. But prayer is an answer, folks. And I love that we taught our children this week to reach for God. And you reach to Him for solutions. Number three, we talked about this idea, you've been chosen. Do you remember what it's like to be chosen? You know, growing up, we're always everything from playground, choosing teams. You know, you have two leaders, and they divide up teams. Everybody wants to be chosen. We don't always get chosen for things, but when we do, it's meaningful, isn't it? We want to be chosen. And so if you've been chosen, you tried out for a team and you were chosen. You tried out for a job and you were chosen. Maybe it was a girlfriend or boyfriend that you liked, and you didn't yet know if they would like you. And then when you found out they did, you were chosen. It's a special feeling, a great feeling to want to be wanted. And the last night of VBS, Thursday night, so we meet in here and we do a few things, show a video and go do the cookout. But one of the things we did this year is had some prizes we handed out. And so as those names are being drawn, I was kind of watching the kids, and when they'd come up, you know, a name would be drawn and take a little bit for them to get up. And I remember distinctly a girl sitting right about where Mark's sitting, and her name was drawn. I never seen a kid get up so fast. I mean, as soon as her name come up, boom, three steps, she was here before you could even really realize who it was. She was ready. She was anxious. She was excited that her name was chosen. One of the great struggles people have in life, they read a scripture like this, they say, which says, "You are a chosen race." This is our scripture reading today. "You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation." They hear this and they say, "Yeah, I understand God chooses the group, but does he choose me?" One of the greatest struggles people have, religious people, is, does God want me? And then if that's not a struggle, give it enough time and enough failure and enough times where they have fallen short, and their question is, does God still want me? I've done this. I've done that. I knew better. Does God still want me? People struggle with that because they don't even want themselves. So why would God want me? And Scripture reminds us God knows your worst, and Jesus' blood is enough to cover your worst. Yeah. And all God needs is your repentant heart. Jesus said, "You're my friends if you do what I command." So God calls all. So church, spread the message that God always wants people. No matter where they've been, God just cares about where they're heading. And if you'll walk to God, he will walk to you. God does not, he does not give up on us. He's always wanting the best for us. Then number four, defeat the enemy. James 4:7, great passage here, verses 7 down through 9 says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." When we talk about defeating the devil, we don't defeat the devil's strength with our strength, right? You can't defeat the devil by being great enough, big enough, prideful enough, powerful enough. You defeat the devil by your submission to God and resisting. You resist the devil, he'll flee from you. Draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. "Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded." I stop and remind us, church, the answer to our sin is not more sin. The answer to our sin is not just more grace from God, but we have to turn from sin. We have to repent. Be wretched, mourn, and weep. And that's what that's about. There's a time to have sorrow for your own sins. "Let your laughter be turned to mourning, your joy to gloom. Humble yourself." And there again is the answer. You don't defeat the devil by getting strong enough. You don't even defeat the devil by learning enough in this book. There's a reason to learn. The more we learn about God, the more we love God, know God, know what to do. That's true. But when you know right and you're wanting to choose wrong, no amount of knowledge will help you not choose wrong. It's up to you to resist the wrong, to draw near to God, turn to God, resist the devil. The enemy. When the cookout was going on across the street, there was a moment where one of the the children are kind of running, and that's a big field, and we don't have that fenced in or anything. So, but one of the young ones kind of got loose and wandered over by the road, and no one really noticed for a little bit, and then someone yelled the child's name, and I look, I see the kid by the road. And so I start to the child to try to keep the child from, you know, getting out in the street and getting ran over. And I'm kind of running. I don't really run anymore. I kind of hobble. But I was getting it with my hobbling. And as I'm going to the child, then it dawns on me. I have flashback to chasing my family's dog. Leon, and when I, so in these scenarios with Leon, you don't chase a dog to retrieve it because the dog determines you're the enemy and the dog will run, right? So you have to flank the dog because the dog's not going to run to you. And so I commenced to flanking the child because I'm thinking, if I'm not careful, this kid's going to run, they're going to think I'm chasing them and run straight in the street anyway. So I flanked the child. And we lost no lives this week, church. We had no one ran over, right? No major loss of blood that I know of. Sometimes we get confused who the enemy is. And we think people are the enemy. You may think people in your life is the enemy. People are not our enemies. The devil is our enemy. The devil working in people's lives may be our enemy. The devil influencing people's lives may be our enemy. But it's not people. And so often we get confused about who we're, you know, running from and who we need to flee from. And I just remind you that our fellow human beings, they're not the enemy. They're the ones we're trying to save. And be the salt of the earth. Love your enemy, Jesus says. That's other people. But the devil is our enemy. And that was a great seed that we planted this week with the kids at VBS. A reminder, you know, we come into this building from the world that we live in, and our minds are running 100 different directions, aren't they? We're doing all kinds of things in our lives. We live our lives alongside the world. We come in here. Church, I just remind you, this is not our home, this world. It's not our home. If the news depresses you, it's not our home. If you have problems you don't know how are going to be solved, this world's not forever. It's not our home. But we're headed to one there, and that is, it will be infinity. It will be forever. And that's where we want to be. We're going to sing a song of encouragement this morning. Last week we had two young ones give their life to Christ. And if anyone is here this morning and you're not right with God, we would love to stop and help you to be right. And if one's never had their sins washed away, we would love to help you with that. If you have a need, please come while we stand and sing.
Why do you wait, dear brother?